everyone, Renee Powers here, and I am back with another episode of recapping everything I read in April. As I've mentioned before, these are really informal, really casual, kind of sitting down and having coffee or tea with me and talking about books. So sit tight. I've got my own vanilla oat milk latte that I've made myself this morning. I'm feeling very like cozy and worn out. It's been a busy week with packing all of the May boxes. That is a ton of work. That it was like 12 hours on your feet getting it ready to ship out. So there is still time to get yours. Do not fear. If you would like to join us for May to read Good Talk, that is still available in our shop until May 5th. So let's dig into what I read this month. I read 12 books. A bunch of these are sneak peeks of some books to come on the podcast, some interviews to come. So I'll let you know what those are. That's your little treat for downloading and listening to these episodes. The first book that I read this month was Rules for Being a Girl by Candace Bushnell and Katie Cotugno. I had Candace on the podcast to talk about this book last month, so I will link that in the show notes. Also, check out the blog posts for these episodes. I meant to mention that. I'm doing some read-alikes, and if you like this, you might like that. Suggestions on those posts. So feministbookclub.com/podcast, and you can see all of the show notes slash blog posts for these episodes especially are full of all kinds of suggestions and recommendations. So anyways, Rules for Being a Girl by Candace Bushnell and Katie Cotugno. This is a YA novel from Balzer and Bray. And as usual, I go through my reading log, which will also be linked in the show notes, to give you an overview of each book. This is a general fiction YA novel. I did get an advanced review copy of this, so thank you to the publishers for that. This is a YA Me Too book, and it's very contemporary. I gave it 4.5 stars. I thought that the characters were relatable and likable, and it was a really honest portrayal of the tensions that arise around really difficult decisions, such as whether or not to report a teacher for sexual assault and sexual harassment. This is one of those books that I think you could absolutely read with your teenage kiddo, but it's also a great book for adults too. But if you're, I know that we have a lot of parents listening, and if you're looking for maybe a book club at home with your family, I would say this is probably a 14 and up book, but it would make a great vehicle for discussions around the Me Too movement. So that was Rules for Being a Girl by Candace Bushnell and Katie Cotugno. The next book I read was one that has been on my list forever. It's Educated by Tara Westover. This was published in 2018 from Random House. I got it from the library, so I read it digitally. I read a lot of library books this month. This is a nonfiction memoir. If you are not familiar with it, Tara Westover grew up in a fundamentalist, I think Mormon, but Christian home. And her parents were preppers. It comes out later that her father likely had bipolar. And Tara and her siblings did not go to school. And that's where the title comes in. I'm not going to tell you too much because you've probably already read it. It is a very, very popular book, and I was a couple years late to this one. but I gave it 5 stars. I think it is fantastic. Worth all of the accolades, worth all of the praise and buzz it got and continues to get. This is actually recommended. I'm going to say this was recommended by my friend Connor. He was the first person that brought it up to me. He was reading it for his book club, and this was a couple of years ago, obviously, when it first came out, and asked me if I had heard of it, and I hadn't at the time. So that was the first time I had heard of it, so I'm going to give credit to Connor for that. The next book I read was The House of Deep Water by Jenny McFarland. This is out April 21st this year from G.P. Putnam's Sons. I got a digital review copy of this. We had Jenny on the podcast this past week. So just go back to the most recent episode and you can listen to my interview with Jenny McFarland. This is a fiction book, small town life in Michigan. It is an own voices book because the main character is a biracial woman like Jenny McFarland herself. And I gave this one 4 stars. I thought it was really engaging and I found myself looking forward to seeing what happens next. The characters are flawed and real, and there's a lot of grit in this book and a lot of cringy moments and a lot of uncomfortable stories that happen. And as I mentioned in that interview, I do have to give content warnings for child abuse and child sexual abuse. I know that is really difficult for a lot of people to read and just want to give you a heads up about that one. But I do recommend it. I think it was beautiful, especially if you are a small town person and perhaps maybe grew up in the Michiana area like Jenny and I both did. So that was The House of Deep Water by Jenny McFarland. The next book that I read, holy cow. I was just slightly late to this one. It was Catch and Kill by Ronan Farrow, and that's from Little Brown and Company. This was published last fall, October of 2019. I got this from the library, so I read the Kindle version. This is a nonfiction book, and though I knew it was about Harvey Weinstein and the breaking of the Harvey Weinstein story, what I didn't expect about this book was it really took to task the systems of power that powerful men hide behind to cover up a culture of sexual harassment, sexual abuse, and rape. I am astounded by all of the work that went into this book, all of the red tape that Ronan Farrow, the journalist and author, ran into. I was blown away by this book, and I don't know if I should be surprised by how much went into covering up these powerful men. It wasn't just Harvey Weinstein. It was Matt Lauer. It was Bill O'Reilly. It was Woody Allen, who happens to be Ronan Farrow's adopted father. Here was my takeaway. I've always been a big fan of NBC. I think NBC has made some great programming. You know, I love television. And NBC just always seems to get it right for me. And I grew up watching NBC Nightly News with Tom Brokaw. And my mom would say the only thing that would stop me from crying, I was a colicky baby, the only thing that would stop me from crying would be Tom Brokaw's voice. And that's always been my network of choice. Let's put it that way. I've toured the studios a couple of times. I've always loved SNL. I am so, so disappointed in this institution for the rampant sexual abuse that went on knowingly in 30 Rock. I am so, so sad. So if you are at all interested in the entertainment industry and what went down and what went into taking down Harvey Weinstein, 5-star book, Catch and Kill by Ronan Farrow. The next book I read is a sneak peek of next week's episode, actually. I read What They Don't Know by Nicole Maggi, and this is from Sourcebooks. This came out a couple of years ago, October of 2018, and it's a YA novel written in diary entries, which I love. It goes back and forth between two teenage girls and really takes to task the abortion debate. I think it was done so deftly and so captivatingly. Nicole has a really beautiful way with words. And one of the things that I tell her in our interview is that she created two characters that I just cared so deeply about. And I thought it was a beautiful portrayal of how difficult teenage pregnancy is, how difficult the decision to terminate a pregnancy is for anyone. And she really handled this story with a lot of compassion and grace. And it's really, really well done. It is difficult at times. This would be another one that if you have a mature 14, 15 year old, would be great to read with your teenage kids or nieces or nephews. I would say most appropriate would be 16, 17, 18. This is a book that I wish I had had at that age. So I gave that one 4 stars. It's excellent. It's a quick read. And the characters really, really are what bring it to life. The next book is another sneak peek of an episode to come. This book is called A Breath Too Late, and the author is Rocky Callen. This was out this past month. was published this past month, April 2020, from Henry Holt & Company. Got a digital review copy of this, so thank you to the publishers for that. I also will be giving away a copy of this in a couple of weeks, so stay tuned for that. This is a YA novel that is centered around a teenage girl who dies by suicide and the days after her death. But it's told from her perspective and her looking back and kind of putting the pieces back together of depression and, again, child abuse and domestic violence and what got her to the point where she felt she needed to take her own life. Obviously, trigger warnings for suicide, for domestic violence, and it's a pretty violent book. Not graphic, but violent. Heartbreaking. I've given this book 3.5 stars, primarily because I was really uncomfortable reading it. And yes, it made me cry. Yes, it's beautifully done. It was just really hard to read. And I think if I read this before the pandemic, perhaps I would have been more inclined to like it more. There's just a lot of heavy shit going on right now. But that said, one of the questions I ask Rocky, the author, is, well, why is now a really good time to be reading these kinds of stories? And her answer is really interesting. So stay tuned for that interview. So I'm not going to say too much about that, but it's called A Breath Too Late by Rocky Callen. So after I read, you know, Catch and Kill, about Harvey Weinstein and what they don't know about abortion at A Breath Too Late, about death by suicide, I needed something light. So I started reading Over the Top by Jonathan Van Ness. And this is out from Harper One, and it was published last fall. I got this from the library. Thank God my library hold came in at the perfect time. It's a memoir of Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye. So it's exactly what you expect from that. It is fun. It is heartbreaking. And I've been saying, you know, for years now that we should all be speaking to ourselves the way that we imagine Jonathan Van Ness would speak to us. He is so compassionate and such a light and such a force. And it comes out of such brokenness and such darkness that he has experienced. And I'm a huge fan of his. I'm a huge fan of his podcast, of his work on Queer Eye, his activist work, and just what he stands for. He's so poised, and I'm so impressed with how much he resonates with so many people across gender lines, across racial lines, across sexuality lines. I think that he's really a light in a lot of dark times. And so his book was perfect to read. I gave it 4.5 stars. Could it have gone deeper in some parts? Yes, absolutely. But I feel like I can appreciate his energy and his joy. I mean, he is just joy personified. I can appreciate that so much more having read his backstory and a little bit about really the turmoil and all of the trauma and depression and addiction that he wrestles with every day. And if he can wrestle with all of that every day and still be just this beacon of delight, then I can be half that beacon, right? So I loved it. That was Over the Top by Jonathan Van Ness. The next book I read, I expected more of the same. It was Naturally Tan by Tan France. Yes, another Queer Eye guy. This was out last summer from St. Martin's Press. And this is my very first audiobook. I read this via audiobook mostly because I'm obsessed with Tan's accent. It just like toes the line of almost Scottish to me, and I love it. And I got this from the library, and I didn't love it. I was kind of disappointed in it. First off, audiobooks, just not for me. I listened to too many podcasts. It was really stressful for me to like try to squeeze in more audio. So that may have been part of it, but I just didn't love it. I felt, especially having just read Jonathan's book, I felt that Tan didn't go deep enough for me. And he said some kind of problematic shit that I don't appreciate. One of the things that sticks with me is he was like, listen, and again, maybe this is because I was listening to it during a pandemic, but one of the things that he harps on is the fact that even when we're home, we should look nice for our partners. And that doesn't mean like getting dressed to the nines and whatever, but our sweatpants should be tailored or at least like look nice and like brush your hair. And listen, it is 12:30 on a Friday afternoon. I am still in my pajamas and rocking yesterday's hair, and my partner doesn't give a shit. He's currently in pants with beer logos all over it and an old NASA t-shirt. So we are living our best lives. So Tan, I disagree. I would love to see what you're wearing during this pandemic and what your husband's wearing. Come at me. I think that your book was just decent. Wow. But I still love your style and I want your entire wardrobe. Thanks. Okay. The next book I read, was Trust Exercise by Susan Choi. Have you all read this? This was the National Book Award winner last year. It came out from Henry Holt in April of 2019. I got this from the library and I read this because, first off, it was the National Book Award winner, which I watched the National Book Awards. It was fantastic. Shout out to two of our previous guests who were shortlisted, Julia Phillips and Colleen Fajardo-Anstein. So I was disappointed that neither of them won, but I was like, well, their books were fantastic, so Trust Exercise must be even better. It is bizarre. My old blog friend, Jessica, you probably know her as Army of Words on Bookstagram. She and I go way back to like the early 2000 blogging days together, but her Goodreads review of this was so intriguing that I had to check it out. Hold on, let me pull up her Goodreads review. I just pulled up Trust Exercise on Goodreads, and I see that Susan Choi was also born in South Bend, Indiana, which is bonkers to me, and was raised there and Houston, Texas. Didn't realize we had another Michiana author in our mix here. Okay, so Jessica's review of this starts with, "Perhaps read none of this. Read nothing about this book. Just pick it up, but finish it. Or make it beyond part one. Trust Choi, the title asks it of you." She goes on, blah, 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 blah. "This novel will not work for everyone. Structurally, it asks a lot. In some aspects, Trust Exercise is an absolute absurdist book, and yet the truth that teems from the absurdity is recognizable to anyone who understands power dynamics. More than anything, you won't be able to let go of this book. The readers can interpret as much or as little as they want. Try it out or stay away. The more curious and open the reader, the more one may enjoy it. Or not." Shruggy emoji. Okay, Jessica, that is what made me read this book. And you're so right. It is just kind of a, I don't know what the fuck just happened. And this book is weird. And I think I liked it, but also I think I hated it. And also I'm still confused and still conflicted. It's about a group of teens in the 80s in, I think, a Texas town in a very competitive theater school or performing arts school, kind of like Fame, kind of like any run-of-the-mill theater program in any high school. That's where I found it very recognizable. Maybe that's what made me so uncomfortable with it. I don't know. You don't really know what's true and what's false and who's who and who's not. And again, like Jessica said, I'm not going to say too much because I don't want to ruin anything, but it was fucking weird. And I gave it 3 stars. And I am going to link Jessica's review in the show notes as well. And go follow her, Army of Words, on Bookstagram, Instagram. She's great. And also, what? Susan Choi is from South Bend? This is bananas. Okay, the next book I read was These Witches Don't Burn by Isabel Sterling. This was out last spring from Razorbill. This was our April Book of the Month for Feminist Book Club. It is such a freaking delight. Perfect YA fantasy deliciousness for this time of our lives. For, you know, end times. I powered through this in 2 days. It was just hard to put down. Great characters, great character development, great queer representation and bi representation. Without it being a coming out story, our members all freaking loved it. I did too. Isabel joined us for our discussion and we just had an absolute blast reading this book, discussing this book, talking to Isabel. It was a great experience all month long. So this book is, I'll just give you the long and short of it. It's about witches in Salem, current times. So yes, there's a little fantasy element to it. And they're teenagers. And so it has all of the teenage drama that you love and hate, but there are possibly people after them, question mark. And they have to kind of band together to figure out what's going on and whodunit, essentially. And I loved it. So I gave it 4.5 stars five stars had it had a little bit more racial diversity, but the story and the writing was just so fun. And I love the characters. We're actually, it's not our May book of the month, but there's a prequel to this that a bunch of members are going to be reading together, and we're going to be discussing it in a couple of weeks. So we're excited about that. And then the second book in the series will be out, or is out. It might be out already. No, I think it comes out mid-May. Anyways, so that's These Witches Don't Burn by Isabel Sterling. Two more books, folks. The next book I read is another sneak preview of an interview to come. It is The Talking Drum by Lisa Braxton. This will be out from Inanna Publications in the end of May. And I did get a review print copy of this, so thank you to Inanna for that. It's a historical fiction book. Lisa is a former journalist, Emmy-nominated journalist, who grew up in the Northeast. She's a Black woman and writes this book from that perspective in the 70s. So she's tackling gentrification, African-American voices and stories and culture up against African immigrant stories and culture. There are a couple of Senegalese characters that are in this book as well, with the backdrop of civil rights in the Northeast, which I thought was a really interesting angle. We hear a lot about civil rights in the South, but we rarely hear stories about civil rights in the Northeast. So I thought it was a great angle. Again, super likable characters. The main character, Sydney, I just love. And we talk about that. So I'm not gonna take up too much time discussing this because, like I said, we do have Lisa, the author, on the show in a few weeks. I gave it 3.5 stars. I think the writing could have been a little stronger, a little more concise. I think it could have, and it perhaps because I have an advanced copy and maybe this did happen, I just think that it could have benefited from a bit more editing, but really lovely story. And the last book that I read, oh, I don't know why I did this to myself because I've had it on hold with the library for like 15 weeks. The last book I read this month was Just Mercy, A Story of Justice and Redemption by Bryan Stevenson. And this was out from Spiegel and Grau in 2014. So again, old news to some, but I think the movie that Michael B. Jordan produced just came out this year. So try to find that if you can, if you've read this or read this. I got this from the library and I read it digitally. This is a nonfiction, kind of a memoir, less about the author, Bryan Stevenson, and more about his work and the people that he helps. He is a death row attorney in Alabama, and the bulk of the book centers around a man named Walter who was wrongly accused of murder and sent to death row. And Bryan, as the executive director of the Equal Justice Initiative, which is a nonprofit in Alabama, devotes mostly all of his time, like spare time and work time, to justice, to seeing Walter off of death row and out of jail. And it also covers several other of the incarcerated folks that he helps, and all of the issues and prejudices and racism that is perpetuated in the courts and justice system. It's infuriating. It is heartbreaking. And it should be required reading. This one took me, I was about to say a long time to read. It took me 8 days. But that's because I read a couple books a week usually. But especially now, it's heavy. It's dense. It's not that it's particularly long. There's just a lot that goes into it. I think that had it just been Walter's case, I would have liked it a lot better, but I think it needed all the other cases. Do you know what I mean? I think it needed to cover all of the different angles that the cases represent, like children prosecuted as adults and folks with mental and physical disabilities prosecuted and sentenced to death, and the state of the prison system and the history of lynch mobs and how state executions are essentially the same thing. And there's a lot that goes into this. It is brilliant. It is heartbreaking, like I said, but guard your heart. I recognize that this may not be the time for everyone to read a heavy book like this. If it is, go for it. It is brilliant and you won't be disappointed. I mean, you'll be disappointed in humanity, but you won't be upset that you picked this book up. It is worth every word. I gave it 4 stars for all of the reasons I just said. It's great. And yet, maybe not now, but that was Just Mercy by Bryan Stevenson. So those were the 12 books I read this month. I am really excited about the books I have on deck for May. Just to give you a sneak preview, you'll hear about that prequel to These Witches Don't Burn. That prequel is called The Spell Can't Last. I'll be reading that. I'll be reading Full Support by Natalie Woods, which is a memoir of a woman who worked in the lingerie industry. I do have Maybe You Should Talk to Someone by Lori Gottlieb on my Kindle that I just downloaded from the library. So I'm looking forward to that one. And even though I've read it before, read it and loved it and interviewed the author before, I will be rereading Good Talk by Mira Jacob because that is our May book of the month. And Mira has agreed to join us for our discussion for that. So again, if you're interested, you've got just a couple more days to sign up for that. And the links will be in the show notes. Thank you so much, everyone, for hanging out with me, for listening. Check out our blog post on this for more information about all the books, where you can purchase them. They will also all be on our bookshop.org site. So if you go to bookshop.org/shop/feministbookclub, you can see all of the books that we mentioned on this podcast, all of the authors that we've had on this podcast. They're all in lists. It's a shoppable list. We will get 10% of that sale. Independent bookstores get 10% of every sale on bookshop.org. So it is a great, great alternative to Amazon. Please, please, please choose to shop small. Choose to shop at bookshop.org if your local bookstore does not have an online presence or a shoppable online store. Go to bookshop.org instead. The prices are competitive. The prices are very similar to Amazon. Did you know Amazon sells at wholesale prices? I know this because I buy at wholesale prices, and sometimes Amazon is cheaper than that. That is so frustrating. Let me get up on my soapbox. Okay, here I am. Amazon can afford to take a loss on books, and no other bookstore organization can, and that is unfair. So I strongly encourage you to check out bookshop.org, encourage you to shop through our site, because that can help keep this podcast running, that can help keep Feminist Book Club subscription boxes going, our Feminist Book Club Book of the Month shipments going. As postage goes up, we take home less and less, and so every little bit that you can contribute, may that be through these affiliate links or even just a podcast rating and review in your podcast app, would be delightful. So thank you so much for joining me. Find us online, Feminist Book Club, Feminist Book Club Box. We're pretty much that name anywhere. So I hope you're taking good care of yourself. Make sure you stay 6 feet away from everybody. Wear a mask, cover your face. Don't go outside if you're feeling sick. I hope you and yours are well, and we'll talk to you soon.